Hello, everyone, and welcome to our webinar about building a better speak up culture. My name is Robert, and today I'll be your host. Today I have with me Vivianne Weehuizen, Legal Compliance Manager, and she's done a great job so far in enhancing speak up culture at Friesland Campina. And Zeke Ward, former Chief Compliance Officer and now founder of North Star Compliance. And he has a lot of experience with helping organization transition towards a speak up culture. Actually, he has done it 4 times already. So thank you both for being here. Now, I think that I've seen speak up culture a lot of times already. Help us out, Vivianne. What is it exactly?
Well, for me, speak up culture is a culture where, let's say, employees feel free and safe to raise any issues that they encounter or any concerns that they have or questions with regard to, well, in our case, our code of conduct.
Yeah. Zeke, speak up culture.
Yeah, I would also add that it's about the less serious kind of day-to-day topics. So, you know, challenging what we're doing and why we're doing it. And that's important in all sorts of day-to-day processes for employees. And it's a two-way process, right? It's not just about asking the question, what are we doing, why we're doing it. It's important that those concerns and questions are listened to and taken seriously. Mm-hmm. So that's about what a speak-up culture is.
So, and why is it so important to have one?
Well, that's a business question, not just a compliance question. I think it's about constructive criticism. I think it's about better collaboration and performance. It's about innovation. So, you know, if you take an example of a company like Boeing, they had some problems with safety and compliance over a number of years. And one really important aspect of that was the lack of a speak-up culture.
Yeah. Why would you say it's so important?
Yeah, well, if the speaking up relates to misconduct, it allows for a company to take preventative action and corrective action and understand where problems may arise. But in a broader sense, most importantly, I think it enhances psychological safety with all the benefits that you've just described.
Yeah. So, and how would you say, Zeke, that an organization can start moving towards the speak up culture?
Well, you know, you need to look at the broadest meaning of culture first, and that is a leadership issue. It's about setting your mission as a company, your vision, and really importantly, setting your values. You've got to think about what's already there for your organization. So what are employees thinking? Where are line managers at on this journey? And what's a line manager's style in terms of speak up culture and culture more broadly? You know, are they keeping the door open so that employees can come and ask a question, or are they not really open to those sorts of questions? And then I think it really starts when someone is brave enough to say, actually, maybe something could change in the way we do things. So again, I think that's the broadest meaning of culture where you start with, and it really is a leadership topic.
Mm-hmm. And now I can imagine that people who watch this webinar can think, yeah, easier said than done, right? So what would you say, Vivianne, are one of the most common challenges that organizations are facing towards this speak-up culture?
Yeah, it is indeed easier said than done. I mean, when you're in the process of still developing or even defining your speak-up culture, it's think hard if you're an organization that has multiple countries where they operate in to find common values that are appreciative of differences, cultural differences, maybe even generational differences, to find that common ground where everybody intrinsically right, resonates with all the employees. And I think also to not make it a compliance check box, right? Something mm-hmm. that we as compliance officers impose and that is only making use of politics or fear, but that it intrinsically lives with leadership throughout the whole organization, that it's something that they find just as important as their KPIs and commercial goals. Mm-hmm. That's difficult.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, you know, finding the common values, finding that common ground is really, really important. It is a real obstacle to create culture because you're trying to define something which is often very fluffy, it's intangible. But you do at some point have to put down on paper what you mean with your culture. And when you look at the enforcement expectations, look at the prosecutor's expectations, and particularly the very detailed ones coming from North America, you know, they do expect you to define your culture. They do expect you to monitor it and have a real clear view, not just on that broad culture, but the compliance culture in particular. Mm-hmm. So you are seeing increasing legal demands and expectations from enforcers on cultural aspects. And in the coming few years, what you're going to find is that retaliation in particular comes into focus more and more. So this is something that's really important that leaders make time for.
Mm-hmm. So let's go to the viewers. And there will be a polling question in your screen, where you can vote. And the question that we would like to ask you is, what are your biggest speak up challenges? Biggest challenge for the viewers is, at this moment, encouraging employees to speak up. Yeah. Do you recognize that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Zeke just spoke about retaliation and lowering the thresholds for employees to be able to speak up. Also, an open and transparent culture where they feel safe to do so, to ensure that they are listened to, that action is taken. So that's really difficult.
Yeah.
I recognize this as well. And I think it's something that you can try to put numbers on, right? I mean, if you're doing an ethics survey regularly, some of the questions could, for example, be, you know, have you observed misconduct? If you have, did you report it? And if you did report it, you know, what made you kind of feel safe about that? But the inverse is also really interesting. You know, if you didn't report it, why was that? Mm-hmm. Did you think the company already knew? Were you worried about retaliation? So you can put numbers on that. And I think some of these are interlinked. I mean, when we look at the response of getting support from management or being transparent about the outcomes, those are really tough challenges.
Yeah.
And it kind of all builds on itself with trust about the outcomes of a speak up culture.
Yeah. Well, thank you for voting. So Zeke, how would you say that organization can start defining their desired culture then?
So I think, you know, coming back to that, what I said about the broader company culture, think about the mission, the vision and the values. And your mission might be something really positive for the company, being the leading brand within your industry or sector. The vision can be something about the broader world that you want to live in. It might be about trust or safety, for example. But then values are where it really starts to get real. And for in the compliance world, a very typical value is integrity. I think that really helps when it comes to a speak-up culture because it helps line managers to kind of put the vocabulary around speak-up. Mm-hmm. You know, it's already been thought about by the leadership. Integrity is really important to us. And so the line manager really needs to just follow, hang on the coattails of what the leadership is talking about.
Mm-hmm. Can you add anything? When we prepared this, you said about listening. It's about listening.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, speak up culture is not only enabling employees to make use of their voice, but to really ensure that there's trust that they're listened to. So really, it's about listening on the other side. So trust within employees that they feel heard and that they're safe to use their voice, and also trust within the leadership that you just described, that people are making use of their voice with good intent.
Mm-hmm.
And that the company in a broader sense will benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
So
next to defining what the desired culture is, right? What, Viviane, would you say is another common challenge that organizations have to overcome?
Yeah, so it all begins with laying down your values in policies and in procedures, and then really finding the right means of communication, because they might really differ from one company to another. Training is really important. At Friesen Campina, we really encourage employees to raise any issues or concerns and questions they have with their peers and with their managers or within anybody that they feel comfortable with. But I mean, there's many moments where that's just not possible, or where mm-hmm. Where you need other means to do so. So we have a great tool for that allows reporting, even anonymously, and that really lowers the threshold that I just spoke about for people to feel encouraged to be part of that speak up culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and some of what you're talking about there, Viviane, is about governance. So we're talking about some fairly mundane and relatively boring topics around governance, such as, you know, where in the organization do they sit? What policies and procedures do we have? But these things have huge outcomes on the culture. Mm-hmm. So the cultural outcomes should not be underestimated. And the board, the CEO, does need to think about exactly where is the compliance officer? Do they have enough independence and autonomy and authority? And this is not just, you know, me saying this. This is, again, coming from the enforcers and the prosecutors, that the way you structure your compliance program will have huge impacts on the speak up culture.
Mm-hmm. So, and then I heard you saying tooling. I heard you saying governance. So would you say that's enough?
No, that's not enough. There's many things, and I don't think we will have enough time in this webinar to speak of all the aspects that go into a successful speak-up culture. But communication is very much key. It's about reinforcing a very positive message, because even in 2023, with generations that are quite out there, they don't have feel any they really able to voice their concerns, let's just put it like that, for example, for Generation Z, to reinforce a very positive message around speak up, that it's a good thing, that it's a positive thing, that it allows for you as an employee to improve your company and your well-being and that of others. So really reinforce that positive message is very important.
Mm-hmm. So we've just seen that the poll that the employees is a big part of it, right? So the topic, let's say, of adoption is really important, mm-hmm. we could say. So how can organizations seek help employees embrace the speak up culture? I mean, how can they encourage them to actually speak up?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've talked about the broader culture. We've then talked about the speak up culture. And now we're talking about the tools that help to create that speak up culture. I think that a huge factor when it comes to speaking up and the tools are the questions that employees and line managers might have. I mean, how does the line work? Is it used in practice? What happens next in the process? So what happens when somebody reports, and is there an investigation, for example? That's a question that lots of employees will ask. And what you need to do is really communicate openly on mm-hmm. the process. Kind of, this is what you do. These are the outcomes. And then try to also communicate the outcomes of cases. Very often early in an implementation or an adoption, as you put it, you're going to get the first kind of major issue come through the line. And sometimes we refer to that as like a signature case. That case is really important because the organization knows more broadly what the issue is, what the outcomes are, and probably, you know, something around who's involved. And it's going to set the tone for how the speak up culture is perceived more broadly in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
So what the company has to do there, the ethics and compliance department, but also the leaders more broadly, is to handle the case extremely carefully, very well, diligently, as quickly and robustly as possible, and then to try to communicate the outcome in the right way. And as Viviane says, that should create that kind of positive feel around the speak up line and the speak up culture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really putting words into practice. I mean, if I will trust something that I see happening, I won't trust something that's just on paper or that my manager just shares monthly on a Monday check-in. Need to see it working in practice. I need to see the benefits. So transparency on outcomes, on cases where possible, is something that would. We'll build that trust within employees, mm-hmm. within the whole organization.
Yeah. And I want to remind the viewers that you can ask questions. So if you would like to do that, please use the chat icon at the top right of your screen. And we are happy to answer them. So Viviane, how can organization do that?
How can they?
The adoption.
Because
we said that the... before there was this internal campaigning going on at Friesland Campina, you said, and you have the biannual reports.
Yeah, we do. Ah, sorry. Yes, that was what you're referring to. So we do that actually We make use of cases. We anonymize the investigations or the cases or the reports that we have, and we make them part of our biannual report, mm-hmm. and really reinforce there the message that the outcome was a positive one. Mm-hmm. Maybe not for the employees in that case, but the lessons that we learned from that and the action that we can take for other incidents to come.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I just echo that and say this is a leadership job. Mm-hmm. This is right on the CEO's desk. You know, I've talked about mission, vision, and values. There's no one else in the organization whose job that is. That's mm-hmm. that's the CEO. Culture is the CEO's job. So the starting point here is, in my experience, that the CEO takes the bull by the horns and mm-hmm. starts to really build the culture. Whenever I've seen that done, every organization, every function in the organization felt supported. And as I say, they had somewhere to hang their hat.
Mm-hmm. And I have a question coming in from Aaron. Thank you. What is your opinion on anonymity within the speak-up culture?
Yeah, I mean, where there's people interacting with each other, we know that things go wrong. And not every issue or concern is something that you would like to raise in your full identity. So mm-hmm. yeah, it's not a problem. We use a benchmark where we really like to remain below a certain benchmark to say, okay, then there's just some things that people feel they need to report anonymously, and that's great and that's fine, and we very much facilitate that. But if the larger number of the reports that we receive are anonymous, then we start to worry. So
okay.
Absolutely. Yep. But a good thing.
Yeah, and I mean, anonymity is that mixed bag, right? You want to get as much information as you can. So, you know, if people only feel safe to do that anonymously, then, you know, you have to offer that. On the other hand, it's quite difficult to deal with anonymous reports. I mean, that really, it can hinder an investigation if you're unable to interact with the person and to get as much information. It was Oscar Wilde who said, you know, give a man a mask and he'll tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to quote any more poetry at you, but I think that holds true today. If we offer anonymity, we will get as much information as possible, and that outweighs the difficulties of investigation.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think with the tool that we use, we strive to convey certain trust in people that to step out of that anonymity, and mm-hmm. and that happens quite a lot, that they raise their issues without sharing their identity, but then they're quite okay with being part of the investigatory process on the go. Yeah,
good. Thanks, Erin. So we were talking about the CEO, Viviane. To support your efforts and help you create change, is it important to have the big yes from the CEO, would you say?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah? Absolutely. I haven't met our new CEO yet, so but I'm quite certain that there will be a very big yes from the CEO. Yeah, that's, I mean, Zeke just has underlined it. And absolutely, you cannot expect employees to walk the talk and lift the culture with a leadership doing something differently, and that starts mm-hmm. with the CEO. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Viviane, what would your advice be towards professionals? I can imagine that there are some of them who are watching right now who might be dealing with a more, let's say, reluctant group of stakeholders, right? So how can they, for example, convince their CEO or the stakeholders?
Yeah, well, we all have those, indeed. So you might want to think about what's important to them, mm-hmm. what resonates with them. They might be really sensitive to numbers. So then reporting is something that will allow you to convey the importance of your speaker program. So that will help. We mm-hmm. do that. We share, I've said, the biannual report, where a lot of numbers are in there, anonymity rates, substantiation rates. We do we have an employee engagement survey that goes out, I think, a couple of times a year, where there's also code of conduct related questions.
Yep.
I think even the question, like the question that you put in, do you feel safe to raise any issues mm-hmm. and concerns, and mm-hmm. if not, why? So that will really allows us to put to define this culture into numbers that resonate with those who are mm-hmm. are reluctant to make it in something that is intrinsic to them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably one of the challenges dealing with reluctant stakeholders that we should relish in a way in our work, because it's inevitable that you're going to come across them. And part of that puzzle is, why are they reluctant? Is it a bad experience in the past? You know, is it fear of something about the process that maybe just isn't clear to them? Or are they simply stuck for time and priorities? Whatever their reluctance is and where it comes from, we've got to crack that code and be open about how our process works, what the outcomes might be, and ultimately what the kind of benefits might be for the reluctant stakeholder.
Mm-hmm. I have a question coming in from Anna. So how do you encourage the right cases to be reported and avoid the noise by abusive or non-relevant reports?
I mean, I don't know if there's a right answer to that, because you need to encourage as much reporting as possible, mm-hmm. The good and the bad. Obviously, if we get to the point where there are bad faith reports being made, you know, things that are deliberately vindictive reports, then of course we need to deal with those in a certain way that encourages the right sort of reports to come in. But I think generally you need to encourage as much reporting as possible. So I'm not sure there's an exact answer to that one.
I think the same goes here for allowing to have as much examples as possible. So for people to be able for people to feel safe to report things, they need to see it happen in real life. They need to see these examples. And the same goes for reports in bad faith. Mm-hmm. If they see that they're not picked up, if they see that, well, a big part of our investigatory process is really screening, do we feel that we need to follow up in this report? And if these reports are not followed up, mm-hmm. then people will hopefully be as much reluctant as possible to do that.
Yeah. And another question from Igor, thank you. So what were the challenges faced at the moment of implementing a speak-up process with your organization the first time? Any lessons learned or best practices?
I mean, the times when I've implemented or changed system, data protection has always come to the fore, mm-hmm. as a key issue in the implementation of the tool itself. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, you know, it's all about communication and training. So there has to be not just a tool being implemented, but a plan around it to launch it with a kind of positivity, mm-hmm. And then to train people up on, okay, this is what it is. This mm-hmm. is how it works. This is what it's for. This is what it's not for. And that probably comes back to Anna's question just now on how to, you know, discourage the wrong sort of things to come in, is exactly that launch plan and implementation, the training program.
Yeah,
and really make sure that you understand your target group. Yeah. We have really a big part of our employees are in production locations. So either you're talking to leadership who might really be helped to understand the process. So how are these reports received and what do we do with them next? And the target group in production locations might really need to understand, so what are the things that I can speak up about and mm-hmm. what are more HR-related issues too? So really tailor your communication on this topic to your target group will allow you to set that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the questions.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the measuring part, right? We all know how hard it is to measure a speak-up culture. So let's say an organization has done everything we've just talked about, right? We have it in place. We have a speak-up. We have the program is running. Is that the end, Zeke?
I don't think so. I think you've got a lot of work to do beyond that. And it's really a consistent effort. I mean, if you're going to build trust in anything, you need to behave with consistency. And it needs to be the right outcomes. So what works for one company is not going to be working for another one in this context. But, you know, if you keep at it, if you keep kind of building that tower of mud, as we say, then you'll eventually be left with a lovely tower of mud. And you have to work at culture constantly. It's not going to be something that's done overnight. And it will diminish, you know, it will reset to a kind of default state if you don't work at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. I'm really thinking about a tower of milk, but I also like your analogy. I mean, the world around us changes so rapidly. Our speaker program within President Campina was, I think, implemented 8 or 9 years back, and the world was so different. The expectations that employee had from leadership, from their company, how the thresholds for people raising their voice, really things that we found were normal back then, we really consider misconduct now. So it's also taking that into consideration and, being very critical of your own values and speak up culture throughout every day.
So I have another polling questions for the viewers, and we've been talking about measurements. How do you measure your speak up culture? Think you can vote now. We are looking at the screen, and at the same time, we can ask. I would like to ask a question coming in from Rabi. Thank you. So trust and transparency is key, we said. How can we create psychological safety to encourage speak up culture within an organization? How can we do that?
Feeling safe is about knowing what the future holds, right? Mm-hmm. Or at least having a pretty good guess at what the future holds. So I come back to the answer I gave just now. If you've trained people in how the line works, what happens next, what's the process, then there's going to be a great deal more psychological safety. Mm-hmm. But we need to view this in the broader cultural context. You know, we cannot just talk about speak up culture as though it exists in its own bubble. Mm-hmm. You've got to look at the whole company culture, the mission, the vision, the values, and that's where the psychological safety comes from as well. Mm-hmm. That when I listen to the leader at the very, very top, you know, I feel like they understand where I'm coming from. When I interact with my immediate line manager, I also get a really good feeling that they have time for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's go back to the results of the voting. I see that employee satisfaction score is what a lot of companies measure about. So that's something that you do as well, that you are familiar with.
I mean, very familiar with that. It is something that is deeply uncomfortable to do in an ethics and compliance program, because especially if you own the investigations process, then your work is not always going to be super popular, right? This is the sharp end of culture. Even if you don't own the investigations process, you're probably going to be asking time of very, very busy people. So, look, yes, your net promoter score, your satisfaction survey is important, but I would encourage compliance officers to be very specific with the question they're asking when we ask about satisfaction. Mm-hmm. Is it with case handling times? Is it with due diligence processes? Is it with risk assessments? Be really, really specific.
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah.
So another question I see coming in from Anna. Do you have any advice on getting to a long-term change to, on the speak up culture? So we have noticed that as soon as the attention from management on this topic is low, employees feel less likely to speak up. Long-term, that's an interesting question, I would say.
Yeah, we talked just now about the culture defaulting to a kind of feral state, if you like, and it will do that. You've got to keep at it. It's really, really hard to be consistent on this topic. It really does come back up to that main company culture. What's helping at the moment is that so much of the focus of incoming regulations, so much of the focus of governments and company leadership is on sustainability. Mm-hmm. And that's the cousin of compliance, right? If not the brother or sister. And so this is really helping in terms of saying, we do the right thing. Mm-hmm. That's the foundation of what we're building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not sure how we're in time. So
we have, I see 5 minutes left, a little less. There's a last question that I would like to ask you. So what's your experience with doing annual compliance cultural surveys to measure success?
Yeah, but we're part of the, well, there's three questions that relate to our program, so the our compliance program and the speaker program within employee engagement, because it's not about success, it's really about engagement. We think that our program, it really builds towards employee engagement, so I think it's very important, but it's not everything. Focus groups are really important. We've talked about a lot about listening and leadership, listening to employees, but I mean, that goes for us in our function also. Really proactively reaching out to someone who reports, saying, are you okay with the timelines? And when the case is closed, so what kind of feedback do you have for us? So, yes, it's really important to get that, because we have 24,000 employees, so that gives us a bulk of information, but it's not, there's more than that, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I really like the idea of focus groups. I think that's a great one and is not often practiced. But there are three main types of survey that many of my clients do. First of all, the kind of typical HR pulse surveys, you know, very quick, very frequent. And having some compliance questions embedded in there is really important. Two or three is enough. Just gives you a feel for where things are, where the problems are in terms of the different business areas or divisions. You've then got your leadership surveys, and those could be once or twice a year, very targeted at senior employees who can give you feedback. And then you've got those ethics surveys, which can be once every 3 years, once every 5 years. And those are wonderfully detailed. We talked about misconduct statistics. That's where you're going to get that level of detail from. One trick to use in all of these surveys is the inversion. Don't look at the positive result. Look at who's not answering this survey. You know, who's actually not responding, who's not observing any misconduct at all, because if it's too good to be true, it probably is.
Yeah, yep. You should always look at the outcome of these surveys within a bigger picture, because we might score really well in certain parts of the world, saying, yeah, I feel very much free to report things that I see. And then if there's really a really low percentage of the employee count in speaker reports, mm-hmm. then that doesn't add up. So yes, great, but then a bigger picture of things to bring everything together.
Yeah. Well, thank you for all the questions and obviously the answers. I see that a lot of questions are still coming in. That means I think we could be discussing this topic forever.
We'll come back.
Unfortunately, we cannot, because we are running out of time. So I would like to close the webinar and thank you, as a viewer, very much for attending. And a special thanks to you, Zeke, and Viviane. So we hope that your time with us has been insightful. Thanks again, and for now, have a lovely day. Bye.